Folks, I am really excited to talk about our newest sponsor for the coaching staff, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, also All-American Used Cars and Trucks. Two really, really good businesses. I'm going to start with Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust. You know, it's hard to find a good mechanic. It's hard to find somebody that you trust. And, you know, long before this situation came about, we had been taking our cars to Ruiz for a year, year and a half, and they've done great, great work. They're honest. They're upfront. They can do everything. They, you know, take care of your motor, take care of your brakes, tires, oil, so simple stuff like oil changes, brake pads, mufflers, whatever you may need. Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust are going to take care of it for you. If you are in the Omaha area and you are looking for a quality, reasonably priced, customer-friendly situation, you're not going to regret giving Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust a chance here. They are located at 4839 North 90th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68134. You can give Esmeralda a call up there. Her number is 402-317-2572. And they'll get you taken care of. I'm saying this as a customer. We literally do not bring our cars anywhere other than Ruiz Auto Service and Exhaust for anything that we do from this point for the last year or two. So again, another business here, All American Used Cars or Trucks. If you're in the market for a used car or truck, go check out Juan Carlos's business there. 144th and I-80, 14706 Schooner Road here in Omaha. Go check it out here. If you're looking to exchange a car, buy, sell, trade, whatever it may be, you're going to get an honest deal from honest people. So go check out Ruiz Auto Service and Exhaust and All American Used Cars and Trucks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of A Pen and a Napkin Podcast, the weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to the coaching staff, episode number 117. And I am back here with Mr. Tony D. Viss. We, of course, are sponsored by Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, All American Used Cars and Trucks. And we are coming off of a collective about 6.5 hours on the couch in the living room as we just wrapped up the conference championship games. The Super Bowl is set, Tony. Who you got? Who's your initial favorite?
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I like the way they're playing. Obviously, they put up 55 today, but I just think Saquon Barkley, to me, is the difference maker in that thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Philly. How about you?
Fly, Eagles, fly. That's for my brother-in-law, Jim, out in Philadelphia, diehard, Philadelphia sports fan. My niece is her middle name is, Harry after Harry Callis, one of her middle names. She's got like three different middle names, but, he somehow or another, and I don't know if my sister-in-law was still kind of out of it from the delivery, but he snuck Harry in there for Harry Callis in her official name on the birth certificate. So Jimmy, that one's for you there. We'll go with the Eagles. So, this week, you know, we're entering here. It's going to be January 27th when everybody hears this. How do you get better while getting rest? And that is going to be our topic for this week. We are first, though, episode 117. Tony, we got some baseball players and we've got some quarterbacks here. Shohei Ohtani. I'm Keith Hernandez. Todd Helton. One of my favorite Chicago Cubs of all time, Mr. Mark Grace, and a couple of quarterbacks, Doug Williams and Philip Rivers. I've got two basketball players, Tony, both Hall of Famers, longtime NBA players.
Wow.
Both retired.
17's not an overly popular number. Wow, I don't know if I could pick out a 17 of a basketball.
One of them played his entire 16 years with one team in the 60s and 70s.
Havlicek.
John Havlicek is one, yes. The other one, Played for Lou Carnesecca at St. John's.
Chris Mullin.
There you have it, my friend. There you have it. So, boy, we banged that out real quick. That was,
I had to make up the last.
It's a, hey, it's a tough gig. I appreciate your honesty, because you could very easily look these up before we do this. So I appreciate your honesty of staying away from the Google machine before we even get going. So, or I'm assuming you're staying away from the Google machine.
Damn, okay. I've got my trivia question is queued up, but that's all that I got up here.
Okay. All right. How do you get better while getting rest? We are in kind of the real dog days of the season. It's now late January. Postseason play in most states is still probably 3 weeks away at its earliest. So you need to get rest. You need to stay fresh, but you still have a lot of season to get better. So how do you get better while getting rest? And that is what Tony and I are going to talk about. And again, Tony, I think this is one of those things. This is the art of coaching, not the and to a degree, there is some science behind it as well. But a lot of it is the art and knowing where your team is and kind of having a good feel for your group.
100%. I agree with both those. There is science behind it, because, you know, rest is so very, very important to physically recover and then to mentally keep them sharp as well. But there is a thing where you got to have your finger, if you will, on the pulse of your team, knowing when to crack the whip, so to speak, and know when to kind of ease up and allow them to get that much needed rest.
Mm-hmm. I think kind of the obvious one, Tony, I think most coaches do this at this point of the season. It's the best place to start is just cutting down on your practice time. I know that we would gradually cut down. I know you've mentioned before you try to cut down about 15 minutes for every month that you get into the season. But that's kind of the simplest place to start, is just literally shortening your practices down as you go, right?
Yeah. As a young coach, I read John Wooden's Pyramid of Success, you know, kind of the gold standard, if you will, for basketball coaches. And that's where I got that from. I would love to tell you that was something I came up with, but we both know I'm not that smart. And so when we went November, December, we 2-hour it, because there's a lot to get in there. And then once we got to January, 15 minutes is going off. And then as we get to February, we knock another 15 minutes off. And back when I coached varsity, if we were fortunate enough to get into March in the state tournament, we would knock things down to an hour and 15, hour and 20.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, without knowing that, that's kind of basically the same thing I would do some days, you know, practice before the day of a game. Sometimes it's only 45 minutes or an hour on the floor. I think that's where a lot of coaches start at. That's a good, obvious starting point. But there's a lot of other things that you can do as well, Tony. Do you want me to start, or do you want to start this week, buddy?
I'll let you start this time. I'll defer to you.
Okay. Thank you. You've deferred on the flip, and I get the ball first. So, I think one of the big things that you can do, you can get better while getting rest, is really cutting down on your contact and actually putting together entire practices where you go completely non-contact. Skill work, you're walking through things, it's a lot of maybe visual looks at different things. But going non-contact, I think, saves a lot on the wear and tear of the bodies here. You're not going to re-aggravate a soft tissue injury or something like that. And so one of the things that I would really try to do is kind of the basic things that I would try to do is, not only did I cut down on time, but also on contact as the season went along to keep those legs and those bodies fresh. You know, those muscles are tired at this point of the year, and so we don't need any extra banging on them if we don't need to.
Yeah, you kind of sound like a football coach there a little bit with the contact stuff, but I don't know if I've ever been as cognizant of contact than I have this season. We had a kid who had shoulder surgery before the year began, and we didn't know if we would get him back or not, and he's gotten cleared, but no contact. So obviously he can't play in games. And so he tries to do as much as he can in practice with us and pregame stuff and walk through and that type of stuff. And then I have another kid coming back this week from a buckle fracture. So we're pretty cognizant of it. But like you mentioned, Marty, those muscles are tired, you know? And so if you overwork them and you don't provide adequate rest, you're going to run across those overuse injuries. And one of the things I think we've seen probably the last decade, maybe a little bit longer, a lot of, you know, soft tissue and big time injuries that orthopedic surgeons are involved in. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, doing something year round. So that's something that's just very important to keep in mind is that injury prevention with the non-contact side of things.
What's a buckle fracture? I've never heard of that.
It's one of those things where, if I remember, because I looked it up and it was been a while ago because this happened right before Christmas. But the bone on one, I think the bone on one side kind of buckles. And so it's supposed to be like a 2-3-4 week injury. And I believe we're at week 5 or 6 with him right now. So I don't know if his was a little bit more severe or if he hasn't healed as quickly as maybe they thought. But yeah, the bone on one side kind of has a little bit of a dip or a buckle, if you will. It's kind of what I think it was. And again, obviously I'm not a doctor, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn last night.
Well, I thought you played one on TV, but that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, okay. I'd never heard of a buckle fracture before. So I learned something. So, so that's kind of my first one there, going non-contact. What's kind of first on your list, Tony?
You know, one that's important this time of the year too, you don't have to necessarily be on the court to get better. And you can do that through video and film, you know. And so one of the things with Huddle that's really nice, and obviously, you know, Huddle very familiar with it as well, is, you know, you can put your games in there. You can put clips of certain things in there. You can film your practices and different things like that. But I think those mental focus where, you know, you have to have a lot of concentration when you play sports, especially basketball. And so, you know, one of the things I think people probably heard quite a bit about this week with the conference championship games with Jaden Daniels and the mental things that he would do to make these split second decisions. And so I think the mental focus as well can help your mind as you get that rest to, you know, kind of improve your focus and knock out some of that mental fatigue. Because one of the things we talk about with cutting that 15 minutes off is, yes, we want to make sure their legs are fresh, but we also want to make sure their minds are fresh, because perspective and what you think's going on weighs so very, very heavily as well.
Yeah, I think that was next on my list, Tony, was film and watching extra film and getting those mental reps as well. You know, you can cut things up. You know, the great advantage that we have today, as opposed to when we started, you know, we had VCR tapes. We weren't communicating in smoke signals or anything like that. But I remember, this dates me a bit, but and I had a student teacher at the time, so this made it a lot more feasible. But we were late in the year, and I think we were playing Lincoln Pius. And I made like this 12-minute video clip of all the things that Pius did and cut it up. And then I made a VHS copy for every one of the kids on the team. And, you know, here's 12 copies. So I literally spent a day in the coach's office just making copies of this video once I got everything cut up. It was very Spielbergian-esque. But I think it helped. And especially if you feel like you have a smart team, from a basketball IQ side of things, I think that extra film study can really, really help you out. You know, you can put little carrots at the end of the stick here. You know, hey, the more film we watch, the less we're on the floor sometimes is what you can say. Now they could just turn on the film and not watch it. I get that, you know, but you would hope your kids would be more committed to it than that. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do with that film. Obviously, Huddle makes it easy to make the cuts now. You can really individualize things, especially with like personnel. Hey, Viss really likes to go left from the top of the key. Here's 4 straight cuts of Viss going left from the top of the key. And that can help you in your preparation and limit your time on the floor as well. So I really like that as well, Tony. I wholeheartedly agree with you on that one. Coaches, I am really excited to announce this year's lineup for our 5th annual Pen and a Napkin Coaches Clinic. This year's clinic date is Saturday, April the 12th. It's going to take place at Mary R. Queen Gymnasium, located at 3405 South 119th Street here in Omaha. We've got three on-court demonstrators. Andy King, the head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn North High School, will get the day started with his clinic on developing your team through 5-on-5 controlled scrimmages. Jody Steyer, my good friend from Iowa State University, the associate head coach at Iowa State with the women's basketball team, is going to talk about individual player development in small group settings. Jamie Smith, the head girls basketball coach at Solon High School in Iowa, one of the best I've ever seen, teach about shooting fundamentals, is going to talk to us about how to put together a great shooting workout for your players. Coach Smith won a state championship last year at the Class 3A level in Iowa. Those are three on-court demonstrators. Then we're going to have three off-court demonstrators. Our lunch keynote speaker is my guy Raz Vanderloo, the head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East High School. And also Raz is very involved with USA Basketball. I'm just going to let Raz cook. He's going to talk to us just with a basketball smorgasbord of topics about what Raz wants to talk about that day. Then we're going to have two smaller breakout sessions. Lucas Dollinghouse, the head boys basketball coach at Johnson Brock here in high school, highly successful program. He's also an administrator, and he's going to talk about coaching through an administrator's eyes along with some other things. Our other breakout session is Weekday Wade Coulter, the head girls basketball coach at Gretna East High School, and he's going to talk about building a pressure defensive system. One of the great things about the Pen and a Napkin Clinic is, in addition to our presenters, we also have two designated breakout sessions where you will get the opportunity to discuss various topics with other coaches attending the clinic. These sessions are a great way to pick the brains of your peers at the clinic, and it's one of the most enjoyable points of our annual clinic. And then, hey, after a long day of learning about hoops, it's time to kick back and relax. We're going to have an optional post-clinic social at Wine 121. It's right down the street from Mary R. Queen, about a mile, mile and a half down the road. I want to thank my friend TK, Tom Crable, for opening his doors to the clinic again. It's just $15 per coach for anybody that wants to join us there. Our Pen and a Napkin Clinic is one of the most affordable clinics in America. I mean, it is really, really, really affordable. You're going to get over 7 hours worth of information. That's $60 for a coach. If you're just a singular coach that wants to come up and check it out, it's $60 a coach. If you bring yourself and another coach from your staff, it's $110. Three coaches from your staff, $150. If you bring four or more coaches from your staff, it is only $45 per coach. We've got a sliding scale. It's all about getting better at an affordable price. So if you are interested in signing up for our Pen and a Napkin Clinic, look to the flyer on Twitter and mail it in. You can scan it in. You can do all those different things, or you can DM me or you on Twitter, or you can email me apenandanapkin@gmail.com. Registrations are due by Thursday, April the 10th, 2025. Coaches, do not miss out on one of the best coaching clinics in America. One of the things that I like to do sometimes, Tony, and actually this goes way back in my coaching career, a guy by the name of Dr. Ken Rodas, who used to be the head women's coach at Hastings College, and he suggested that later in the year, especially like if you have a Saturday practice, and you're, let's say you're not playing until Tuesday, is just have an hour of shooting. Like just literally the kids come in, and maybe you don't even put on the practice jerseys, but it's just an hour straight of getting shots up and just repetition, repetition, repetition. So shooting practices, and that's something that we did probably once or twice a year, especially, let's say, like I said, you know, we played on Thursday. We don't play again till Tuesday. If we come in, you know, we come in on Friday, maybe we watch a little film from last night's game, and then We just shot for an hour or an hour and 15 minutes and just getting those shooting reps in late in the season. Cause you know, just as well as I do, Tony, if you're going to make a run, you gotta have confident shooters. And, you know, I think that's a big part of it. So we would just have shooting practices. And I think that's a way to get better as well while you're getting rest.
Yeah. It's one of those things. We both know that basketball is a made shot game.
Yep.
And if you want to be good at it, you better put some time into shooting, and that's concentrated time in your practice. And so from time to time, you know, we may play Friday night, It could be a tough game. We hop in on a Saturday morning, and it might be 75% shooting that day where they get a couple hundred, 300 shots up, whatever the case may be. And so I think those are always good things, too. And again, you know, you're not doing necessarily a full court shooting drill. You're probably doing some quarter court, half court things. So there's not a lot of up and down on the legs and different things like that. But yeah, I think shooting practices are a great way to keep the mileage on the tires a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm. What else you got, buddy?
You know, another one I think that's very important, and you know, you find different studies that will say a variety of things, but I buy this a lot, is the fact that sleep is so very, very important. You know, you see a lot of times with kids in particular, they like to stay up late, whether they're texting or playing video games or who knows doing what. But I think sleep is the number one predictor of how you're going to play. And I think a lot of kids don't understand, it's not just sleep the night before. Like, we played Tuesday night. You know, our guys hopefully had a good sleep last night, have a good sleep tonight, and have another good sleep on Monday as they get prepared for that Tuesday night game. But I think sleep is one of those things that's so very, very important and helps them to recover. And if they're not getting the proper amount of rest, they probably feel like they're burning the candle on both ends and they're really, really tired. And the other thing to keep in mind as well is that at the age they're at in high school, you know, you've got these growth hormones that are being released. And so it's crucial that they're getting sleep, because during deep sleep is when these growth hormones, are being released, along with tissue repair and muscle recovery as well. And mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing that's so very, very important there too. And so just putting that out there, you know, part of the rest thing is that sleep as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the TikTok ban would have done a lot for a lot of high school basketball coaches to have their players get more sleep during the evening. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, sleep, proper nutrition, you can add on to that bullet point. You know, getting your studies done early, you know, all those things. And I think that's something, don't you think, Tony? You have to talk about that as a team. I think that's a constant reminder, right?
Yes. We were fortunate enough. Our strength guy at Kennedy is one of the best in the entire state, but he's also really, really good with like diet and exercise too. And so from time to time, we'll bring him in and let him talk to our kids about diet as well. And I feel like if you don't touch on those things, sleep and diet, you are really, really missing out. Because a lot of times I think kids, maybe it's just like a recommendation, but you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't think they understand the whole science and importance of it.
Well, and here's another one when you're talking about nutrition, and this is the one that just drives me nuts. And let me be clear, Tony, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because if any of my students, current or former, they know that I start every day with a can of Mountain Dew. That's my coffee, but it's one a day. That's it. Then it's you know, probably three things of water the rest of the day, that type of thing. But another thing that you need to talk to your kids about is the lack of health benefits of those energy drinks as well. And, you know, you're burning the midnight oil, and then you're hitting yourself with, you know, just this massive hit of sugar with your Red Bulls and Monsters and whatever other stuff that they got out there. That's not good. That's not good at all. And so that's another thing that you need to educate your athletes about is staying away from those energy drinks as well.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people, I mean, the sugar, don't get me wrong, it's bad, really bad. Mm-hmm. But the other thing too is the carbonation. The carbonation in your sodas and so on and so forth, that's what breaks their muscles down. So it's like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, where you're working on building muscle in different things with your exercise and your practice and so on and so forth. And then you're, you know, drinking 3, 4, 5, you know, energy drinks or Mountain Dews or whatever, and you're breaking that thing down.
Yep. Here's another one I had, Tony. When you are running reps, especially when they're contact reps, and this is all part of the shortening of practice, but make it short, make it sweet when you're doing that. Instead of running shell drill for 12 minutes, it's 8 minutes. Or, hey, you know, you get three stops in a row, you're out, you win. You know, different things like that. Make your competitions short, sweet, to the point. Narrow it down. Make them, you know, bullet point like. You know, cutting those physical. You know, for us, we were a pressing team. We really wanted to get up, pressure the ball, attack the ball. I always believed in pressure. In some way, shape, or form, sometimes more aggressively, depending how deep and athletic we were. But, you know, early in the season, we're working on our pressure for 20 minutes of practice, let's say. Well, now, if I were to have a practice tomorrow on January 27th, we may be only working on it for 10 minutes or 12 minutes. And then in a couple of weeks, we might only be working on it for 6 to 8 minutes, because at that point, we should have it down. And a lot of that is walking through, here's the press break that West High is going to throw at us or whatever it may be. So when you go physical, when you go contact, when you go 5-on-5, 3-on-3, whatever it may be, really cut those reps down into short, digestible reps so your players move on from it quickly, but yet still have that intensity of we've got to get something accomplished. This is a competition in some way, shape, or form, and having that focus so they're still getting better in that shortened rep.
Yeah, 100%. You know, one of the things that is kind of nice there too is sometimes, you know, with us, our varsity guys, they've got a board up in the main gym. So when they're getting ready for a team, they'll have it broken down on huddle. Like, this is what they do. And so you can show them up on the board with film there. You don't have to go to a team room or anything like that. And then you can have your scout walk through it. And then you, instead of, you know, going against it, you know, 8-9 times, you can go do it 2 or 3 times. You've seen it on video. You've watched the scout team go through it. And now you're going to go out there and talk about how you want to defend it. And so you're taking a lot of like contact and bumps and up and down off their legs a little bit. And that also can end up being a really good thing for them too.
Yep. Yep. What else you got, buddy?
You know, another one I think that's important to keep in mind too is stretching, yoga type of stuff. You know, it can be static, it can be dynamic, but I think that's a good way to begin practice. You know, and it's one of those things where, like, maybe as you're trying to teach them what you want them to do, it's 10 minutes. But by the time you get to this time of the year, it's like 5 or 6 minutes. And then make sure, you know, for some type of cool down at the end of practice as well, something you can do real quick. Again, just a good stretch to keep those muscles elongated and you know, and sharp and stuff like that. And I think that's something that you can do that to help out with that wear and tear thing as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good there. You know, anything again to prevent those soft tissue injuries, that's really, really good and smart if you can control it. So here's another one I had, Tony. I called it excellence in execution. You know, instead of going 5-on-5 with a lot of your stuff, when you're, you know, do a lot of 5-on-0, but at this point it has to be absolutely perfect. You know, we're running Denver and it has to be perfect. And if there's one little, and you can get really, really picky, as you well know, Tony, you know, you weren't completely set on that screen. You didn't get low enough on that screen. That pass wasn't, you know, precisely on time and on target as we were running Denver. So, hey, 2 push-ups real quick or 5 jumping jacks or, you know, whatever, something simple. But you can put a lot of mental reps and mental pressure on your team and get them better while getting rest by going through things 5-on-5, but or 5-on-0, excuse me, but having an extremely high standard of execution. I mean, there cannot, the footwork has to be perfect. The passes have to be perfect. You know, let's say we shoot the jump shot, ball can't hit the floor if they miss. You know, what we would do a lot, and again, we were a pressure team. This is something I got from Don Meyer. Whatever your defensive transition philosophy is after a make, let's say if you're a pressure team, like we were, you know, we ran a lot of 2-2-1. Okay, so we're going to run Denver. We want Susie to have the shot. And then we're into our yellow press, which was our 2-2-1. And if there's any sort of mistake anywhere along the way, we do that again, or like I said, 3 push-ups or, you know, something like that. But that excellence in execution this time of year is really, really good. You're still getting physical reps, but you're not beating up on your team with a lot of physical contact or any physical contact at all. You shouldn't be anyway. So that was another one.
Yeah, mine was kind of similar with that too. This time of the year, I think we've got like 11 man sets that we'll run. We've got a handful of zone things. We've got some out of bounds plays, both side and underneath, and different things. But the one thing that we've really kind of been harping on lately with them is special situation. Mm-hmm. The other team scored, you're down six. And so instead of going for, you know, 5 minute scrimmage, a quick 5 minute scrimmage or whatever, there's 6 seconds on the clock. We're going to run last second play, or, hey, we're down two. There's 2 seconds left. You have to go the full length of the court. We're going to run home run. And mm-hmm. so, you know, just doing some of those things. So we would hammer home some special situations, which, you know, again, can kind of shorten things down because, you know, you're going through that. We'll do one. Hey, there's 20 seconds left in the quarter. We want the last shot of the quarter. Let's weave into horns, or let's weave into hammer or whatever. And so we just work on those types of things. And I think that can help offset some things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll let you keep going. The special situations one, that's another one that I had, like quick cuts 5-on-5. And I really like that, that special situation deal. One of the things that we did last year, talking about special situations and really locking in on that, again, kind of minimal contact, but we just had a practice where we literally spent like, I want to say, half hour, probably, Tony, just going over every single possibility that we could think of. You know, balls on the side, we're up to 4 seconds left. Boom, let's just get it in. You know, here's what we're going to run here. Here's something that we might draw up, just so if we do draw it up, you're familiar with it. You know, here's something we haven't put it in yet this year. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it, but if we needed to draw it up out of a timeout or at the end of a quarter or whatever it may be, you know, this is what we're going to run, you know, that type of thing. So those quick cuts, those controlled scrimmages, special situations, quick to the point, just getting that emphasis across and making sure that you're as ready as you can be going into tournament time. So, my last thing, Tony, was this is a good time, I think, to, you know, if you haven't done something with your culture in a while, this is a great time to do it. Cultural exercises. This was about the time of year that we would often have our surprise day. Hey, we're not practicing today. Grab your stuff. Go get changed. We're going to Dave and Buster's or something like that. It's a good refresher. It's a good reminder for everybody involved that we are, you know, here's the reasons why we're here. Here's where we're re-emphasizing the themes that we began with in October and November. And, you know, those team goals, just hammering it in there. Because right now, what are you running into in the dog days? Coaches are getting tired. Players are getting tired. Parents are getting frustrated for the reasons that parents get frustrated. Even when things are going well, you're going to have somebody that's going to have some burr in their saddle. Officials are getting tired of getting yelled at 4 or 5 nights a week. Let's remind ourselves why we're here, what we're doing, and what our overall goals were back in October and November. And let's get ourselves refocused a little bit here as we head into the home stretch.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. We did ours over Christmas break. We had a scrimmage. As soon as the scrimmage was over, we gave them a little bit of time to, you know, shower and stuff. And then we went to Pizza Ranch and did our holiday party and then positive note things with them. But I think January is a great day. We had this talk, in fact, on Saturday before we played, the fact, because the day before at practice, we had a couple, I don't necessarily call them altercations, but we had a kid that going in for a layup, another kid got him, and it got a little tense there for a second. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people are on, I don't know if I would say their last nerve, but they're getting in that area code. Mm-hmm. And so just taking time, like you said, to refocus. Why are we here? Mm-hmm. Well, they're here because it's fun. That's why most kids play sports, is because it's fun. And we're there as coaches, I think, to make a difference in their lives. And so it's always good to go back to your why. Yeah, always get this time of the year to go back to your why.
Yep. I'm tapped out, Tony. You got anything else?
One other thing I would say is it's a good time. Like if you do scouting reports, you know, it's a good time sometime in practice. It doesn't have to be at the beginning. It doesn't necessarily need to be in the middle. It can be at the end. It doesn't matter. But a good time there to kind of go over the scout a little bit more, you know, to save a little bit of that leg up and down too, where you, hey, these are the top five, six guys, gals, whoever. This is what we got to do to stop them. Mm-hmm. We like to do this on defense. They're a flex team on offense, whatever. But it's a good time to kind of pause, you know, and do maybe a halftime, if you will, mm-hmm. and go over what's been going good in practice, what hasn't been, waking you up to improve it, a chance to review the upcoming personnel of the opposing team coming up. But those are things you could do as well.
Yeah, you know, there's never a shortage of what you can be doing intellectually, mental preparedness. And, you know, now at this point of the year, everybody's got a good volume of film underneath them. There's no secrets. There shouldn't be too many secrets anyway, with your teams and what you're scouting, especially when it comes to personnel. So, and it's kind of one of those deals, Tony, I always thought, yeah, we're going to talk about the plays and we're going to take that away, but the personnel, the individual player scout is so very important. You know, one of my things was, we're not going to get beat by a 3-point shooter. We're not going to let a really good shooter get open for 8 3-pointers in one game. We're going to swallow that option up and we're not going to let that happen. You know, and those were really controlled. You know, you're going to have players that are really good off the balance, your three level scorers, you're going to have a hard time stopping them per se. And I'm using air quotes with stopping them, limiting them. You want to slow them down. You want to make things difficult for them, but they're probably going to get a good percentage of what they usually get. It's the ancillary pieces that you can really crack down on with your scouting report and give yourself hopefully a better path to victory. At least that's what I think, Tony. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I know some coaches talk about the fact they only want to worry about what they do and do it so well, the other team has to adjust to them. But I don't know. I feel like if you can do a good job in the scout and take away and make them go to option B, C, perhaps even D, you give yourself a really, really good chance to win.
Coaches, are you looking for a way to improve not only your players, but your parents' perspectives on what they should expect when they come to your program at the high school level? Well, A Pen and a Napkin has something for you, your families, your players, your parents, and maybe even yourself as well. Varsity Preparation Academy, the first annual Varsity Preparation Academy, is going to take place May 3rd and 4th, 2025, here in Omaha, Nebraska, at Omaha Marion High School. That's at 7400 Military Avenue here in Omaha. This is for girls basketball players grades 6 through 9 going into the 25-26 school year. VPA is all about educating parents and players to prepare themselves for the varsity sports experience both on and off the floor. I'm taking all the things that I've learned in my career from all the camps that I've gone to, all the camps that I've worked, all the stuff that I've done on my own here, from USA basketball to Snow Valley to Point Guard College to the stuff that I've done. And we're combining it all into one really, really intense weekend to help these future varsity athletes get ready for the varsity level. We're going to work on skill sessions on the floor. We're going to have many sessions on the floor talking about important things about the, you know, like why coaches substitute, the importance of routine, different things like that. And then we're going to have classroom sessions where we're going to sit down and talk about different things that are going to be important for the development of the player and the parent. We're also going to have a parent meeting to talk to parents about what to expect in the high school experience, what they should be looking for as their child goes through this. So coaches, pass this on to your players, to your parents. I think it's going to be a really, really good deal. It's $175 for the weekend. That's literally less than $10 an hour that they're going to pay to get this great experience, t-shirts, binders for note-taking, all sorts of different things. Meals are going to be provided. We are going to take care of your players and your parents. A Pen and a Napkin is going to be there to help you out. Always done that, and we're going to do this once again on a different wavelength, on a different level, with the first annual Varsity Preparation Academy, May 3rd and 4th, 2025, here in Omaha, Nebraska. Well, Tony, you know who has never even had to go to option B.
The Europeans.
That is very, very true. They have never been option B in anybody's book. They have always been the headliner for the coaching staff. Mr. Viss, it is your turn for trivia. Tell me what you got.
I saw this today on X. Tim Miles put it out there, and I thought it was really good because I know you're a big, big Don Meyer guy. Mm-hmm. And so the thing that he put out there today, which my jaw dropped when I saw this. How many Division I coaches played at Northern State?
I believe I saw the same tweet, Tony, and I think I have the correct answer. I believe it is four.
It is four.
Yeah.
Miles was going against, I'm trying to remember the guy's first name. I know Coach Sundance.
Sundance Wicks.
There we go. Yep. Yeah, Sunny Wicks. Yep. But yeah, so I was going against him today with Wyoming. And so he put that out there. Steve Smiley and Paul Seether.
Yep.
I believe the other two.
Yeah, that's a crazy stat. That tells you, I mean, and again, you know, Coach Meyer, of all the coaches that I've ever studied that I didn't know personally. And I was lucky enough, I got to meet Coach Meyer a couple of times. I probably looked like an idiot when I was talking to him. You know, I didn't have him sign any body parts or anything like that, so it wasn't that awkward. But no comment. I didn't have a Sharpie. That's the only reason why. It's been a while since we've diverged off the beaten path. We were probably due. And for those of you that are throwing up in your toilet right now, I apologize. So, we could take this out, but we're not going to.
Adds to the
it does, yes. I don't even know where we're going. Something with Don Meyer. It was something influential.
The four coaches.
Yes, yes. It tells you how influential that Coach Meyer was, you know, and countless other coaches at various levels. You know, Andy Foster used to be the boys basketball coach at Sioux City Heelan. I mean, on down the line, there's so many of them out there. So, you know, Coach Meyer, you know, if he were still alive today and he saw that picture, he'd probably say,
about that.
So, Mr. Viss, I don't know. We got a lot of different places that we could start at. We could start with breaking news. Should we start with breaking news, Tony?
Let's do the breaking news.
Yeah. Huge trade in the WNBA here today. And I'm on ESPN.com. I can basically the two biggest pieces. Well, there's three big pieces. Jewel Lloyd is going to the Las Vegas Aces. Kelsey Plum is going to the LA Sparks, and the Seattle Storm are going to get the number two pick from the LA Sparks in the 2025 WNBA, or I guess it would be 2025. Sorry, excuse me. 25 draft here in a couple of months. What do you think, Tony? I mean, this was, you know, Jewel Lloyd had proclaimed that she wanted out of Seattle. She ends up in a pretty good place, I would say.
Yeah, she ended up in a really good place. Gets to go play with Jackie Young, you know, and then Asia Wilson's not bad. So, yeah, I mean, the worked out pretty well for her, worked out pretty well for the Aces. And I don't know what happened there with Kelsey Plum, why she was ready to move on and why the Aces maybe were ready for her to move on. So I'm not real sure what happened there. And then you take a look, you know, the whole draft lottery thing's always interesting because, you know, LA had the highest chance to get the number one pick, obviously didn't.
Yeah.
They ended up with number two. If they have the number one pick, I don't think they make this trade, because I think they would have liked to plug Paige Beckers in with this. But the number two pick, there's a decent gap between the supposed number one pick, Paige Beckers, and whoever will go number two.
Yeah.
But yeah, just an interesting puzzle piece moving as far as things go. I think you're going to see LA in the playoffs next year, because Kelsey Plum with Rekia Jackson, Cameron Brink, and some of the pieces they have, that team will be
improved.
I believe will much improved and be able to make the playoffs. Seattle, I kind of wonder what's going to happen there, because you went from a pretty good team who had a really good season, but the playoffs didn't go well for them.
Yeah.
But now it looks like maybe they're going into rebuild mode.
Yeah. Well, kind of the conspiracy is Paige Beckers, is she going to tell Dallas she doesn't want to go to Dallas? And she want, the obvious reasons why one would want to go to Los Angeles. I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but I believe one of, Becky Hammond's complaints at the end of the year, she felt like some players lost their focus on what was truly important. And was that in with this trade of the four Musketeers that the Aces had, this is the one that moved out. Was that who she was referring to? I mean, let the conspiracy theories begin. I mean, that maybe could be it. I who knows, Tony? Only the people involved with everything knows. I think Seattle probably sees it as, okay, we kind of made a nice run last year, but we still lost in the first round. Maybe it's just time to kind of do the Kevin O'Connor, blow it up, and let's start with the second overall draft pick, and maybe somebody like Skylar Diggins, could she be on her way out of town as well? And they kind of try to, just head that route, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before, more so with the NBA. I mean, if you're not going to win it, you don't really have a chance to. And you kind of got some vets and different things. You just try to move on and get some, draft capital with it, and see if you can hit the lottery, so to speak, and get some good young players and go from there.
The worst place you can be in professional sports is an older team that is average. I mean, that's just the absolute worst. If you're old, you better be really good. You better have a chance. Otherwise, you want to be young and up and coming. You don't want to be old and average. And I think maybe that's the way Seattle read this situation is, we got Jewel Lloyd, we got Skylar Diggins. We still lost in the first round to an Aces team that was not lighting the world on fire at the end of the year and got beat pretty convincingly by the Liberty in the semifinals, or in the first round of the playoffs, excuse me. So, or they got beat by the Aces, who then got beat by the Liberty. I'm still struggling with my Don Meyer flashback there. So I don't know. We'll have to see how it plays out here. Let's stay on the women's side of things, Tony. By far and away, probably the biggest game of the weekend was LSU and South Carolina. Between the two, there was only one loss, and now there are two, and LSU is stuck with their first loss. They go from undefeated to 20-1. Game was in South Carolina. Not necessarily unexpected that South Carolina would defend its home floor. It was a real rock fight. I watched part of it, didn't watch the whole thing, but probably watched a quarter and a half-ish or so. Just a real tough defensive battle between these two really talented teams, 66-56 South Carolina. Just a really intense conference game that we saw the other night.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at the SEC, and it's tough. I mean, the conference is loaded, both men and women's. And like you mentioned, South Carolina, who I think right now is probably the best team in college basketball. I mean, nothing against UCLA, but I see South Carolina making gains. And I believe Kim Mulkey even addressed the fact that South Carolina has 10 McDonald's All-Americans on their roster. And she's just like, how do you keep that many kids happy? And obviously Dawn Staley's doing a fantastic job there with it. But the game wasn't without controversy, as the DJ for South Carolina played a a song by Fuji Johnson's late father at the end of the game. And so that DJ has been suspended and then is going to for the next game. And they're going to have a conversation about the type of music that will be allowed to be played. But yeah, not a good look there.
Yeah. I had seen the headline. I didn't know. I just saw DJ had been suspended because of something that happened at the game, but I hadn't read that. And now I'm reading about, her father was shot and killed about 6 months before she was born. And that's not good. That's something that you just can't do that. That's just not good. Needless to say. So, very good chance this is not the last meeting between these two. Let's see how the string plays out, and we'll go from there. So,
yeah, they might be able to see each other a couple more times in the conference tournament and potentially in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. Coaches, are you looking for a great sports story to read? Then look no further than Kings of Their Court. The story of three great high school basketball teams in the heartland of America, Millard North, Bellevue West, and Creighton Prep, all out of Omaha, Nebraska, all ranked in the top 25 in the country for the 2020-21 season in the middle of so much chaos that we all lived through. COVID quarantine, politics, racial issues, some of the best players that the city of Omaha has ever produced, and the stories of them, their parents, and their coaches all wrapped up into one here. All you need to do is go to Amazon.com, type in Kings of Their Court, and order yourself a copy today. Coaches, go check out Kings of Their Court. All right, Tony. Let's talk a little NBA here real quick. Last year's finalists, both of our finalists right now are struggling. We talked about the Celtics last week. That was who I was down on last week. This week, the Mavericks go from bad news to worse news. Luka Doncic has been out for a while now with a strained calf. Kyrie Irving is dealing with a back issue, and now probably their third most important player, Derek Lively, is out with a broken foot and out 2 to 3 months. I would think it's probably going to be closer to three than it is two. The Mavericks have not really had as good of a year. And again, you take out that much firepower, you're going to struggle. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They are down to ninth in the Western Conference standings. And it doesn't take long to go from fifth to ninth in the Western Conference, the way that it's packed in together. But they're only a half a game up on Sacramento for 10th. And the Warriors are looming. The Spurs are looming. If they don't get healthy, we could see them go from missing the playoffs to making the NBA finals to possibly missing the playoffs again here. Just kind of and again, injuries happen. It's part of the sport. It's part of any sport. But just a, no pun intended, tough break here for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah. Like you said, it could be missing to the playoffs to being in the finals to missing the playoffs. And if they don't get those guys back, and anytime you take away a team's three best players, I don't care who it is, you're going to struggle. And then, like you mentioned, the Thunder, I don't know if I necessarily say running away with things, but they got a 6.5-game lead for the top spot in the West. But then you take a look, the Rockets and Grizzlies have 14 and 15 losses, and the Mavericks aren't that far behind with just 22 losses. But then you turn around, and there are three teams behind them with 22 losses, 23 losses, 23 losses. And so they could very easily drop to like that 12th spot in the West. And like you said, that would be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, there's only three games separating the 7 seed and the 12 seed right now, which you and I are both social studies teachers. Math is not our forte, but even we can figure out that's pretty cramped when it comes to the math equation here. So tough break for them. NBA All-Star starters here, Tony. Any beef with any of our starters here? We've got Steph, SGA, LeBron James, KD, Jokic for the West, for the East, and we're going with this goofy pick a team, pick up basketball, whatever the heck they're trying to do here. But Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Kat. Any issues with any of those 10 guys, Tony?
Not really. I mean, it's one of those things where the NBA, you see guys like Steph and LeBron, obviously a little bit long in the tooth, but still performing at a very, very high level. And I think the two best players, I'll go three best players in the NBA are starting. I think SGA, Jokic, and Giannis are the three best players. And yeah, they're in the starting lineups. So Noah, how about you?
Yeah, I think I am too. I don't see anybody. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, you got to have somebody from Cleveland in there. They've got they've got the second best record in the league, behind Oklahoma City, so that's well deserving. You may want to you can make an argument maybe for Kevin Durant just because of his lack, quote unquote, lack of team success. Although they're playing a little bit better now, they're 7-3 in their last 10, but they're, you know, all things considered, they're disappointing with, you know, with the quote unquote big three, and maybe it's 2.5 because Brad Beal isn't, you know, where Brad Beal was a few years ago. But you know, there's not much you can really quibble about. Maybe another guy from Cleveland. Maybe it's a Evan Mobley just because again, the team success. But I don't think you could say, you know, and maybe for like a Kevin Durant, it's a lifetime achievement award for being the best scoring for, you know, pure scoring forward, maybe perhaps the game has ever seen. So I'm good with it if you're good with it, Tony.
Yeah, let's be good with it.
Okay. We'll tell Adam Silver in our text chain that
Conference
we're okay
call.
With. Yeah, we're all right with it. So I guess the last question I got for you, Tony. Tony, who's moving up for you this week? Who are you high on this week? Who's up for you?
Matt Painter and the Purdue Boilermakers. They put a beat down on Michigan, who I think is a pretty good team, to be honest with you. And so that is the ones that have grabbed a hold of my attention. Purdue obviously lost Zach Edey, Player of the Year, but their point guard might be the best point guard, not only in the Big Ten, but perhaps in the country, Mr. Smith there. And so that's who I'm taking the elevator up with.
Okay. I have the St. John's Red Storm. And Rick Pitino is back from the coaching graveyard. They are 17-3. They are atop of the Big East standings. They have won, okay, let's see here, 12 out of 13, and their one loss was at Creighton by 1 point. And Creighton, other than St. John's, you could say they're playing the best ball in the Big East right now on the men's side. You know, Rick Pitino is showing that and again, you could say what you want to about his mistakes that he's made, whether they're personal, professional, whatever it may be. You cannot say that the man doesn't know how to coach the game of college basketball. And year two at St. John's, and I know, you know, Coach Pitino really influential. When I was in college, those, you know, he had his Kentucky program really going, pressing, running, shooting a lot of threes, especially for that time period, shooting a lot of threes, versatile rosters, huge influence on my coaching philosophy as a young coach. And so from on a personal level, I'm happy to see him have the success that he's having at St. John's and getting, yeah. And college basketball is always just a little bit better when St. John's is good. Don't you think, Tony?
Yes. You know, like we've talked about Big Monday back with the Big East, Louis Carnesecca. Yeah, just it's college basketball a little bit better when St. John's and the Big East are clicking.
Yep. Who are you down on this week, Tony?
You know, I was going to take Penny Hardaway and the Memphis Tigers, and then we had some hiccups with UConn and Coach Hurley, another run-in with the officials, kind of said what he thought he was. So I'm going to ride the elevator down with the UConn Huskies. I know they're missing their stud freshman, but they've lost a couple games, and his behavior continues to be of concern.
Yeah, I agree with you on the behavior type of stuff here. Yeah, I mean, there's just certain stuff you can't say or you shouldn't be saying. And yeah, I mean, I don't. You can be a personality. And again, kind of going back to our childhood, Tony, John Thompson was a big personality. Louis Carnesecca was a big personality. Bobby Knight was a, maybe not Bobby Knight's the best example to use, but you know, there's just certain lines that you shouldn't cross. And Coach Hurley, in my opinion, I kind of felt like he kind of crossed that there, in the heat of the moment, but you gotta be better than that. You just do. So, my down, Tony, I'm going to stay in college basketball here. Kansas State men's basketball. This was a team that 2 years ago was a hair's breadth away from making it to the Final Four. They made a big deal in the offseason, big splash, signing Coleman Hawkins, the big transfer out of Illinois. And it was rumored that he got upwards of $2 million in an NIL deal. They are 7-11. They are 1-6. And things are not good in Manhattan. And not only that, the Kansas State women are having an outstanding season, but then their All-American post player broke her foot this week, and she is going to be out for an undetermined amount of time here. So it has not been mainly aimed at the men's basketball team there at K-State. And I know the Big 12 is a really, really good conference, but I think their expectations were much higher than what they've achieved so far. And yeah, it's not good in Manhattan right now.
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be a parting of the ways between Coach Tang and K-State at the end of the year. I just think there's enough difference philosophy-wise between the two sides that I don't know if they'll have a working relationship going forward.
Yeah. Episode number 117. Tony, how to get rest, or how to get better while getting rest. I think a lot of common sense, but at the same time, there's an art to getting your team better while keeping them fresh as you're moving forward in the season.
Definitely. And I think a big part of it too, Marty, is having honest conversations with your team and see how they're doing physically and mentally, because I think that's a part of it too, to keep that pulse, or you keep the finger on their pulse to know what's going on so that you know how to adjust things. I think is important as well.
Yep. And that's one thing we did not talk about that we should have, that open line of communication with your players. What do they need? You know, how are we doing? And if you feel like they are honestly coming up to you and saying, Coach, we're a little tired. We're a little worn out. You know, we got a lot of tests coming up this week. You know, whatever it may be. I think that is, you know, those are relationships that you build with your players. And when you think it's appropriate, you try to follow that that message that they're trying to give you, you know, and you may have to give a little just to earn their trust. Well, don't you think, Tony, you know, the players have said we need a little bit of rest. We're a little worn out. We had a long bus ride earlier this week. Whatever the situation may be. Okay, hey, I've heard we're a little bit tired, so we're just going to go really hard for 60 minutes today. Give us 60 good minutes. We were going to go 75 or 80, but give us 60 good minutes, and we're going to get you out of here 20 minutes early here today. I think those are good conversations to have as well, don't you think, buddy?
Yeah, and the thing too, I mean, there's the team one, but there's also the individual conversations as well. Yep. And so there's a balance between that. But yeah, you've got to be able to have that open line of communication and be honest with one another.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So episode 117 in the books. Hope folks have enjoyed it. Thanks again to our sponsor for the coaching staff, Ruiz Auto Services and Exhaust, All-American Used Cars and Trucks. You know, you have all the information that you need to get a hold of them there. Ruiz Auto just does a great job. So pleased to have this partnership with them. So pleased to have Tony on every week. I know how busy he is right now. It's getting past 10 o'clock here. Both of us are seasoned and experienced, and we need to get our beauty sleep right now. So we are going to call it a night. Hope you coaches have enjoyed it. Let us know if you need anything, and we'll be back here next week talking about something else. So coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.